Welcome to the podcast Found in Estonia, where we talk with foreigners who have made Estonia their home. In each episode, it's going to be me, Tiina, and Kaisa, my co-host, and we are going to talk with one foreigner who already lives in Estonia. This podcast aims to bring our listeners together, inspire more open-mindedness, and just to share interesting stories and observations that many foreigners with their fresh eyes can offer. Among the podcasts, we also plan to organize events and get-togethers in real life. And the best way to never miss any information about that is to go to our website, which is foundinestonia.ee, and become part of our community. By the way, if you join our email community in August, which is right now, which is our launch month, then together with Estonian organic fragrance company Hurm, we actually have a gift for you. So go to our website and read more how to get it. Hey, you, have we met before? I heard you were found in Estonia.
I wanna hear all those stories, so let's keep talking. In today's episode, we're going to talk with Plutan. Plutan is from Turkey. And he is actually one of those people who learned about Estonia through Eurovision Song Contest. We chat about his upbringing in Istanbul. We chat about why you should buy your winter clothes in Estonia. We chat about the blandness of Estonian food compared to Turkish ones. And he also gives a pretty good overview about Turkish cuisines in general. We also talk about the language differences and similarities between Turkish and Estonian, and so much more. So now, let's just jump in and let the conversation unfold from there. Enjoy.
I'm Bulutan, and I'm from Turkey, Istanbul.
Far away from
and, yep, it is. It is a few thousand kilometers. And that's it. That's who I am.
Okay. So, yeah. First off, your name. It's super interesting. Yep. Doesn't have a meaning.
Yes, it does. In Turkish, bulut is cloud, you know, up in the sky.
Oh, okay.
Pilve, I think you guys call it.
Yeah, nice.
Pilve. Yeah, pilve. And ham is a suffix that means ruler, so I'm ruler of the clouds.
Oh, king of the clouds. Then.
Yes, if you will. I mean, I'm not saying that you can.
No, that sounds more regal. King of the clouds. We have king of the stones.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep it a bit, you know, just a bit tuned down.
Yeah.
Do you know that you have your own candy in Estonia with your name? Like me, Tiina, I have Tiina candies. But now in Estonia, you have cloud candies, which is pilveke. You can take it as your like main
candy.
Yes.
I had no idea. Pilveke.
It's like a tiny cloud. It's like a candy.
Nice.
And it's one of the most favorite candies of most people in Estonia, I would say.
I've never seen it before. No.
It's made by color. It's in a blue wrapper, and it's a white candy inside there. But you have to find. That's your mission for after you leave here today to find your candy.
Yeah, yes. I'll find my candy.
But what about, how did you end up in Estonia? What brought you here?
What brought me here? Basically, I came here for my master's degree at the University of Technology, and I just then wanted to stay. I never left, basically.
When was that?
I moved here 2017 August. So we are in 2020 August, so it's almost like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe let's start from a little bit softer side of things.
Okay.
Like, how was growing up in Turkey? Have you ever heard about Estonia before you came here?
Growing up in Turkey is, well, I mean, not so different than Estonia, to be honest. Like, every child goes through the same things. Well, you know, just playing on the streets with your friends. Although I grew up in Istanbul, so after a while, it just faded out. It was just faded out. At some point, you know, technology just got into our lives at around, I think in around 2000, maybe late 2000s, like, you know, 2003, early 2000s. So after that point, like, it became less and less that we go out on streets to play with friends. And then, you know, just everybody was staying home. So I think in smaller cities, it's a bit more common that children are still playing on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
While in Istanbul, it's not so much common anymore because like it's too big.
Is it dangerous or is it just that everybody's worried?
Not dangerous, but like too busy, and there are not like you know.
Side streets or like slums or something.
But it's just that there are, of course, like these parts aside. But like in old times, it used to be more of a thing to be outside
okay.
as a kid. So
not anymore.
Not so much. I wouldn't say so. No. I lean more on technology, but I'm not gonna complain about technology, etc.
Yeah,
it's too cliche. I'm not gonna go down there. But it's just less common.
Yeah.
Not that it's bad or good, but it's just less common. So I used to be a lot on streets. And I have a quite class family, one father, one mother, and a sister, and they're still together. And my sister is right now, you know, she's getting prepared to start university soon. So
is she still back in Turkey?
Yeah, she's in Istanbul. She graduated high school a year ago.
Oh, she's still
yeah, she's still too young, yeah. She's too young to, you know, just go abroad out of nowhere. I mean,
what time is the
what time is true?
Because like Rufat was out like 17 or something, or 17, it's one of our previous days.
Yeah,
but like with you, it's
I know
like,
Rufat. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, okay, very cool. So, how old were you when you left your country?
24.
Okay, yeah, and 24. Is that like common time to leave?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I left after a bachelor's degree. Some people leave directly for bachelor's.
Okay.
I haven't met anyone that left for high school, etc. But I would say like it's more common when you graduate from bachelor's and then you go for master's abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my case. And I think it's a bit of a better choice for me. I don't know. I think it depends on personality a lot. For me, it was better that way.
And what did you study?
For bachelor's, I studied industrial engineering.
Uh-huh.
And also for master's degree here, I studied industrial engineering and management. So industrial engineering all the way.
So who are you going to be when you grow up then?
No idea. I mean, it's
how do you say, official person that graduates from that kind of
industrial engineer.
Yes, and industrial engineers do what exactly?
Basically, the department itself is a merger of both management and engineering, but engineering in the sense of machineries and plants, you know, like factories, etc., these production bands, etc., like these kind of things. So ideally, when you graduate from industrial engineering, depending on the studies, you end up either in a factory working as a planning engineer,
mm-hmm.
etc. Or in my case as well, I am more of a management office person. So yeah, for me, it's more like, you know, enterprises, management companies.
You tell others what to do. Instead of doing it yourself.
kind of.
But you have to have, like, so I can understand that you need some engineering background so that you can understand either the manufacturing process itself, mm-hmm. or the stuff that is being used to manufacture things, right?
That's
and
true.
To calculate the costs and.
Yes, exactly, pretty much. It's not like we design the machinery. There are people who do that as well.
Yeah, I know that too.
If they practice a bit, but our main goal is that, you know, like to get everything a bit cheaper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to understand that then,
yeah.
you know, technically, if you use a certain type of material, you might lose out on something else.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
ISO standards and whatever. Okay, now I'm understanding already where we are.
Have you always been interested in engineering, or did you have any other passions or hobbies when growing up?
No, I haven't been interested. I mean, it's always in someone's mind when you're growing up, you know, engineering, it's very common.
Is it?
Yes.
Like, there are people who want to become ballerinas, policemen, you know.
Maybe I was too pragmatic. I don't know.
Okay.
For me, at the moment, of course, it was somewhere in my mind. Engineering is very popular in Turkey.
Okay. That might actually explain that.
Yes. So, like, I think it's based on the fact that we have industry there, a big mm-hmm. industry, mm-hmm. a lot of production going on. So eventually you kind of start hearing from people, this person's son became an engineer, this person's son is doing this, blah, blah, or mm-hmm. this girl is working in this factory as an engineer, so on and so forth. So I think you kind of just hear from there, and just, it just sticks with you. Yeah. But previously, I wanted to become a molecular biologist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, genetics or like genetical engineering.
So it's also with like a lot of details and really like specific, like going deep into the topics.
Yes. I really liked biology. I still do. I didn't want to study medicine because I wasn't that hardworking back then, and I don't think I have the patience even today. Mm-hmm. So molecular biology was very, very interesting for me, but it just didn't happen then mm-hmm. For various reasons, mm-hmm. you know, just, mm-hmm. yeah.
Studying industrial engineering, how did you came to this idea to come to study in Estonia? Like, we're not so famous for our industry or, mm-hmm. or things, so how did that come about?
Oh, well, basically, I never wanted to start, work in a factory or industry itself, so to speak, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you think of industry as factories. So how I ended up here in that sense is, well, honestly, I wanted to do a master's degree anyway, and I wanted a different experience rather than staying in my own homeland and studying there. And education is the easiest and perfect way to do this, because then it opens like all of doors and makes things a bit more easier, because at least you don't depend on a company to move to another country. So you depend on school and yourself, you know, like studies. And I think opportunities are higher, you know. So how Estonia? Well, I kind of knew about the country beforehand, not a lot, of course, but, you know, I knew it existed at least.
That's
good stuff. I knew because I was, like, you know, once we used to participate in Eurovision, so
mm-hmm.
I remember the songs from Estonia, etc. And they had
always
been my favorite.
Wow, okay. That's a first. I don't think we've ever had a guest that actually knows Estonia from Eurovision.
No, that's not
the
first one.
Yeah. I mean, even Latvia, I heard when I was like, I think, on the third year of university, and I was just playing some games, and like I met someone
mm-hmm.
from Latvia, and I had to look it up, of course, because I just didn't know.
Nice.
So yeah, that's how I knew about Estonia, like Eurovision songs. And then, while I was searching for some degrees outside, I didn't want to go to United States or whatever, because I have to pay, I don't want to pay. I didn't want to go to Canada, I have to pay, I don't want to pay. When it comes to master's degree, prices are just so ridiculously expensive. It's just, you think to yourself, you know what, I can set up a business instead of this in Europe and just be fine forever.
Mm-hmm.
So Europe was my only option pretty much in that sense. Because I had already studied in a private school back in Turkey, in a private university. So I didn't want to cause another huge expense for my family. Oh, you know what? That wasn't expensive. No, send me to USA. No. So yeah, that's why I was searching for something more economical, if possible free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was, I just typed the name Estonia because it just popped up in my name. Like, oh yeah, what about this country? I mean, it should be smaller, because I was looking for a smaller country.
Yeah.
Why? Because, well, growing up in Istanbul is nice and everything, but it's very tiring at the same time.
Yeah.
And very crowded.
Okay.
There's traffic all the time. I mean, my bachelor's university, the campus, was 1.5 hours away from my home.
Oh, that's far away. Yeah.
That's
in Estonia.
Yes. Yes.
That's like going from Tartu to Tallinn.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's only one way.
Yeah.
So I used to come 1.5 hours back as well, so 3 hours in a day, if all is good. Sometimes there are like traffic, sometimes there are, sometimes there's traffic, etc., like, you know, stuff like that, so it can even take up to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And 4 hours in the end, just to go to school and come back.
Sounds like a London commute to go to work for some people.
I mean, it can be, yeah. And so, yeah. that was kind of my fault because I could have just moved somewhere, you know, nearby campus, mm-hmm. but I honestly didn't bother because then you have to find a roommate. God knows if you're gonna get along, etc. I just got used to it in the end.
Okay. How common is it actually for people in Turkey or young people in Turkey to live at home while they're still studying in the university?
Quite common. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit of a southern thing to, you know, just keep your child with you. That's the reason I actually didn't get to study molecular biology because it was in another city of Turkey, which was like very far away from Istanbul. It's called Malatya back then. I think it was new department in this university in Malatya. So they didn't have a very high expectation and I didn't have too high points from this exam. So I thought I could just get in. But my parents thought it would be too much, you know, leaving home after years of staying with your parents and going to complete another city very far away in the middle of Turkey. So, but it's common. It's very common. Though back then I used to be quite rebellious about this. Now I think it was the best decision I made because I lived far away from my parents here when I was in master's, of course. And I had to do the laundry, the dinner, everything.
You learned the grown-up life.
Oh my God, yes. I had to pay rent. I paid rent. That hurts. So yeah, back then, even though like, it's, of course, when you live with your parents, so there's some kind of limitation all the time. Oh, where are you going? Why are you not still home?
They're very much up in your ass. Yes. So where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah, of course. And you know, when you're in a big city, they are extra worried. So yeah, that wasn't too pleasant. But now I think like, oh my God, it was so nice not to pay rent, not to do dishes. Yeah.
And those were the days.
Those were the days.
But when you went to the bachelor's and you didn't want to go too far away, how did your parents react when you said that, no, wait, quite away, now I'm moving to thousands of kilometers away, not in the same country?
When you graduate and when you get to some certain age, it becomes a bit more normal that you eventually move house. It wasn't easy, but they kind of already knew that I would eventually go to another country for master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it somewhere along the lines, but you know, in some time. But I think it's just that I managed to convince them somehow that it's going to be good for my future and all that. It wasn't easy, but I just managed to convince them somehow.
You just prepared them like slow steps at a time.
Yeah, maybe I should have said something like, oh, I'm going to Canada for masters. And then if they say, oh, that's too far away. Okay, fine. Then I'm going to Estonia.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that could have made it easier.
Yeah.
But the thing that they were worried most about wasn't the fact that I was away from home, but it was the fact that I was going to Estonia, in the sense that it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot colder than Turkey.
How much colder is it compared to Turkey?
Well, the coldest I saw in Istanbul was, I think, -5-ish. At most, and that's an extreme. I mean, usually in wintertime it's like between 5 to 10.
Did you have snow?
Yeah, of course, like from time to time. But I think the last very strong one was in 2004, something like that.
And how was the first winter in Estonia for you after that?
Cold. I mean, I basically came here with an autumn jacket.
Mm-hmm.
In an autumn jacket.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it would be enough because in Istanbul it was enough. And it was this, you know, down jacket with like this puffed jacket. So I thought it would be okay, but it wasn't. Eventually I had to buy a new one. But still, it takes time until you get used to it. So it wasn't easy, certainly. I like winter a lot, but if it snows properly and I'm home, then it's very good. But if I'm outside, it doesn't snow, it rains, and then it snows, and then there is this mushy snow everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not pleasant.
Yeah, don't worry. I think Estonians prefer it as well when it's like nice and snowy and they get to be indoors rather than enjoying
it's better when it's like minus weather,
like we call it.
Exactly. When it's minus 20, it's much better than when it's like minus 10 and it sometimes rains and then it gets warmer and then, sorry, it gets colder, it's snow, then it gets warmer again, it rains. It
just melts and everything.
Yeah,
I get that. It's like one of those yucky weathers that we don't, even us don't want to like participate in. So.
Yeah. So yeah, but it wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm getting used to it nowadays.
What about summers? Do you miss Turkish summers?
Yes and no. You miss it in the sense that we have summer, unlike in Estonia.
We have summer too.
Sorry, where?
Not today.
People who will listen to this will just think that this is recorded in what's today? 4th of August.
It was 18 degrees when I arrived to Tallinn this morning.
Yeah. So. I went outside without long pants, like with a skirt, that summer.
It's still 17 degrees, but it's raining.
In all fairness, when I had to explain today's weather to another friend of mine, I was telling that today is a great day.
Oh my
That's God. Just it. That's all I'm going to say. But in general, our Estonian summers, they're much nicer than the some of the other ones where I've been to. So
previous summer was very good. Like last year, it was very, very good, very warm. This year, it rains a lot. I don't like it.
Do you have an umbrella?
I mean,
are you sugar?
Okay, good questions. No, but imagine this. I my idea of summer is basically, you know, kind of we kind of think in Istanbul. So
of course. Yeah. So what is an Istanbul summer like?
35 degrees. You sweat all day long. It's very humid and very annoying. And
that sounds also very horrible.
Yeah. Very horrible. Very horrible. But at least, you know, it's warm.
Okay,
and you already have air conditioning in your house, which is very common for Istanbul people, or like many people in Turkey. It becomes better. Last summer was perfect in Estonia. It was not too hot, it was not too cold. It was just perfect. So the only thing I miss about Istanbul summers are probably, you know, slight warmth. But I think spring in Istanbul is much better than summer, so yeah.
So what about if the weather is so different and unexpected, are there any other things that have been surprising to you about Estonia?
You mean weather-wise or?
Just in general.
Just in general, cultural or places or people.
Yeah, sure, I mean.
Where do we start?
Yeah.
A lot of things. Well, for one thing, yes, weather was surprising enough. Another thing is that, I mean, I knew it was small when I was coming here in terms of population as well as the you know, the city itself as well, the land. But you don't think that it would affect you that much. So that was a surprise. I always thought I would be okay with smaller cities because I was so tired of big cities.
Yes. And?
But it just doesn't happen that way. Somehow you miss living in big city. You miss even the traffic. You miss the rush. You miss seeing people like walking around, or you know, or when pandemic starts, you miss kind of seeing like millions of people getting sick. That was a joke. I don't know.
No, but I guess I kind of understand because for us, like, we have grown up in this different kind of. It's just called urgency. Like, I come from Tartu, so Tartu is even more dead than Tallinn is. If you think that Tallinn is dead, then yes, I can understand compared to like London or New York, like Tallinn is dead. Like, there's nothing happened. Like, in London, you have human traffic jams. Here, you have maybe occasional car traffic jams, but never people. Like, there's never enough people to actually cause the traffic jam unless it is the song festival or there was a huge concert of Mavalsuele. That's like the two.
Or these annoying sport events where they just lock up all the streets.
Yes, well, those are called marathons. And,
I don't
important.
Like that. I'm a chubby person. I don't worry.
Like, I only run as well when a dinosaur is chasing me. So I get you, like, fully.
I like running. I've been participating in a few of them.
Yes,
it's really
there,
nice.
We feel for you.
And I don't know, it's really nice to a run through the city and see the sights and wave to people.
And have nobody there in front of you.
Yeah.
I think that's actually one of the other surprising things. Swing people are very sporty.
Oh.
Very outdoorsy as well. I mean,
considering our city weather, it's very surprising, right?
Yeah, well, what else can you do? You know, you just can't hit the gym and like pray to God that you're going to see some one day.
Is it more than in Turkey?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah.
Really?
No, I'm not so sure. Maybe you know, when you take the 20 million people living in Istanbul, maybe the reason I didn't get to see so many sportive people is because like there are so many people that you just don't notice. But maybe here the population is small, so
yeah.
These people who do sports just catch your eye,
mm-hmm.
maybe more. But I still think it's more common here than in Istanbul, in Turkey in general.
Yeah.
I think we are a bit too. We like our comfort maybe too much.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, the classic self feeling.
But is it like, let's say, obesity and being overweight a big deal over there? It doesn't necessarily seem either, right?
It's not USA in that sense.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But of course, we have a lot of chubby people. I mean, considering the cuisine, it's kind of expected.
What's the cuisine? Turkish cuisine? Like,
how is it different from Estonian cuisine?
I have no clue what Turkish cuisine is.
I know Turkish delights.
Yes.
But everybody knows the sweets.
Well,
I know kebab.
Yes.
That's from Turkey. Right?
Yeah. Well,
yes.
There are speculations, but yes. Well, I mean, yet another actually surprising point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys don't like spices too much. Of the Estonians that I met tend to eat their food just the way it is, maybe just a bit of salt.
Yeah.
And sometimes even not that. And, cuisine of Turkey is spicy, but not in the sense of hotness
mm-hmm.
or whatever. It's just there's a lot of spicing going on, a lot of flavors in one dish. I cannot think of anything plain, to be honest. Maybe a few dishes only. It's always heavily spiced,
mm-hmm.
but not so much that it's going to annoy you. I think it's less than Asian cuisine, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But surely more than European cuisine, I would say. And we have a lot of vegetable dishes, even though people don't know much about it. Because a kebab is more delicious.
Yeah, everybody's so used to like kebab, and that's about it. That's all that they know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just so much more, you know, marketed. You know, it's
everywhere.
You don't see a Turkish shop in foreign country that's selling vegetable-based dishes of Turkey. Like, no one's gonna go for that.
Maybe there should be a vegan Turkish restaurant.
Maybe.
Some we have almost.
Yeah, there should be some here too. You know,
it can be because the cuisine staff is quite actually. Able to provide such things. We have a lot of very good vegetable dishes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And some I like even better than kebab.
Yeah.
We have these, I think you guys call it the Turkish bean.
Turkey
yoba. We have a dish with that.
Okay.
It's made with olive oil, and
mm-hmm.
It's usually eaten cold.
Mm-hmm.
Not cold, but, you know, the room temperature,
mm-hmm.
since it's with olive oil,
mm-hmm.
which is very common. And, I would just prefer eating that over kebab even. It's just such a summer dish. It's very light, very, very delicious. So, such as that one. But of course, we have very heavy desserts, baklava, leading.
Yeah.
And a lot others as well. You know, just kalayif and like künefe. Oh God, künefe is the best for me. Do you know what kalayif is?
No.
It's this kind of noodles that are very soft. So you can and very, very thin. So you just kind of, as far as I remember, you kind of, well, let's just say that künefe is basically butter fried kadayıf, these noodles, sweetened, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is this special cheese in between, not very strong,
mm-hmm.
very mild.
Mm-hmm.
And then another layer of kadayıf on top. And like both faces of this kadayıf is fried, like very good caramelized. And then we of course, pour some syrup on top of it, and it's just very, very good.
Sounds like a heart attack. Yes.
Something like lasagna, like with layers, but like...
One layer, but probably has more calories than an entire sheet of lasagna. Because, you know, butter, syrup, which means sugar and water.
Part of the reason why it's not affecting Turkish people so much is that, considering in the food that we eat in Europe, it's still pretty, like, clean food. It's still, like, you know,
yes.
like, basic ingredients.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
filled with all of this stuff and you can
yeah.
get in the US.
I think, is it the reason as well that since it's so warm in Turkey, then you need more, like, sugar rush to go through the day and you sweat it out anyway? But in Estonia, it's colder, so we don't need that much sweating and sweet.
I think it's the opposite, actually. I mean, as far as I know, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a chance that cold weather might keep people slimmer than you know, compared to hot weather, because your metabolism needs to use whatever it has to heat you up. I'm not sure about that. But, well, it's true that we tend to eat desserts anytime anyway. but it's just that, like I said also, it's not very common for Turkish mothers to, you know, take their children to McDonald's. I'm not saying that these, like, they are not full. They're all the time full. They're all the time successful. I mean, we have a lot of McDonald's and Burger Kings and KFCs and everything like you can think of in Turkey, especially in Istanbul. And even some like very niche restaurants of USA, like Carl's Jr., we have them. I love it. And, but it's like, even to order pizza to home, for example, I had to fight my dad, you know, and he would be like, oh, let me just go get some meat and like makes you some dish. Why are you paying for this piece of dough with some cheese on it?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, I'll just pick something. So, like, but sometimes you don't need it. So it's kind of that situation. It's true that Turkish parents don't really like these kind of things much.
It's probably just different mentality, different generations as well.
Yes,
when they were growing up, it wasn't so common. So I
guess
they tried to protect the blood, their heritage through cooking themselves, and he's trying to pass on the same culture.
And like also, there is a lot of things to cook, a lot of vegetables, a lot of meat, etc. So you always find something that looks Turkish cuisine. If nothing, if we have to order, we prefer kebab mostly. Of course, when I was studying as in bachelor's, whenever I was at my friends' places, we always ordered pizza and all that stuff because, you know, it was forbidden at home, kind of.
Yeah.
So, but nowadays, if I were in, you know, in that situation right now, at this age, I would definitely go for kebab. I miss it so much.
Like the real kebab.
So let's
be honest about that.
Yes,
as well.
Precisely. I mean, I regret not having done what my father has taught me. I mean,
have you tried the kebab in Estonia? How is it?
I mean, it's not as bad as I actually expected. It's quite decent, very, very decent. Of course, when you eat it in Istanbul, maybe because of the weather, because of the moods, friends, the environment, it tastes better. But it's not so bad, actually. I haven't eaten a lot here. Like, it just didn't happen. It's not like I stayed away from Turkish restaurants here, not to have a big disappointment. But whenever I tried, it was all right, actually. There is one in somewhere in Tereskivi that I liked a lot, but close about the I think it was. I'm not sure. It was good. Zab, it was very good. But it's getting more and more common, so I think they're improving every day.
I think it also depends on who's actually making the kebabs, whether it's Estonians trying to recreate the same situation or a different country background as well. Because what I noticed was, like, for instance, the kebab in Germany or in Berlin when I was living there was like the best I've ever had.
Yes.
And I've not been able to recreate that same experience in any of the other European towns I've been to.
It's because of Germany is basically like a small Istanbul.
Yes, well, please bring more of that to Istanbul.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did there, but it was just amazing.
It's just that back in old times, when the Turkey was still a growing economy, and like it wasn't in such a good condition, and Germany was hiring people from all over the world. I think Turkey was one of the biggest And a lot of people at some point migrated to Germany and stayed there. And a lot of people from actually Southeast went there, Southeast Turkey as well. So these people knew how to make kebab. That can be a reason why we have a lot of kebab makers there. And honestly, it was just, you know, easy job. Yeah, I mean, people like meat, people like kebab.
Yeah.
So when you're a foreigner in another land and there's still nothing too much established.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine chance. Having an old kebab shop in old times in Germany, and I mean, today you would have a chain. So I think that's why it's quite established in that sense, kind of like Istanbul. When I visited Berlin, I mean, it was, I literally felt like I was in Istanbul. Although, like, much more calm and developed and, you know, cleaner, because, you know, German people are very, you know,
orderly.
Yes, which I love. Yeah, but yeah, that's kind of the reason why.
What kind of foods do you like in Estonia?
You mean Turkish or like any?
Any. Like, what do you eat here?
Well, just usual stuff, you know, when I love cooking. So usually I cook my own stuff. And if I have to order, I usually prefer, like, we have very good burger shops here. I love it. And sometimes sushi, sometimes frequently Asian. I love it because it's so spicy. But from Estonian cuisine perspective, I love this sandwich with herring and eggs and onion. Yes, I love it so much. I mean,
so nice.
I mean, it's just that I cannot hold myself when I see something prepared, you know, that sandwich prepared with that black bread. I love black bread as well. All versions of it, especially with this seeds. And it's just that I love it so much. I mean, I can eat like tons of it. I don't know why. For most people, is, you know, when there's a national day in Estonia, in workplaces as well, they prepare and serve, etc.
Yeah.
For me, it becomes main dish because I just can't stop.
Wow.
Yeah, that explains why I've gained so much weight, but yeah.
No, but I mean, kilo weight, that does not actually give you that much weight.
No, it's more than imagine how much stuff. I ate.
So, yeah, well, but how about black bread? Is it common in Turkey?
Not per se. We have bread that's made with other types of flour. You know, rye. Barley, rye, oats. But they are not these black bread.
Yeah.
They are just slightly darker bread than usual.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Or full grain and whole grain or whole wheat, something like that. I forgot the name of it. But yeah, it is common in that sense, and especially in rural sides of Turkey, rural cities of Turkey, it's much more common because they still make their own bread, and it's the best. Although I would say the most common is of course white flour, just like everyone else.
Yeah, well, I think in Estonia. You think of the white flour bread.
Yeah.
Pita bread?
Yeah, I know. We have different types of bread for depending on the kebab time.
Mm-hmm.
If it's kind of a wrap, we have regular pita,
mm-hmm.
we call it. If it's something to be put the meat on top and then just put some sauce on it, then we have I forgot the name. Oh my god!
Oh, no.
I forgot the name, but it's like it's like still like flatbread, but just much puffier.
Oh.
I had a question also. How easy is it to recreate the Turkish foods here in Estonia? Can you even get the ingredients that are all so common in there?
Yeah.
Or do you have to order them up for that?
You can actually, but it's not so easy because I would say Turkish cuisine is a bit complicated.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of steps to follow, a lot of ingredients usually. That's one of the things that I noticed when I came here, and when I was, you know, whenever I'm cooking, people were like, how long more is it gonna take?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. And largely because there are a lot of spices included, a lot of steps and a lot of vegetables, which make things a bit more expensive here because we don't, you know, grow them here, so we have to import, which makes it a bit more expensive. I mean, we have this rice dish, pilaf, and our classic rice pilaf with just plain rice is basically prepared in, I think, like 2 or 3 hours. It's like you have to let the rice, after washing it thoroughly, let the rice sit in hot boiling water until it's cold, cooled down. Then you take it, roast it in, not roast per se, but just a bit fried in butter. And then after they become translucent,
yeah,
then you add boiling water, and there are very specific measurements for that. You cannot mess it up. You have to stick to the book. Then you cook it for like 10 minutes. Then you just let it brew for like 45 minutes. Then you can eat it. if you haven't died by then.
So it takes like half a day or more.
I mean, yeah.
But is that common because of the fact that Turkish people love, you know, coming together and cooking together? Or is there some other reason to that?
I think...
is that like a ritual thing?
I would say so, yeah. In general, the love cooking is very common for you know, both women and men in Turkey. Being a traditionalist country, for like more for women, of course. But surprisingly, most of our chefs are men. Anyway, but I mean, it's like quite common for all the people. So, and since families are usually quite big, they come together, they cook, and usually they serve to a lot of people, and we eat a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think we just like eating and like the taste so much that we just spare that time for anything. Of course, there are easier steps as well for making the dish that I just spoke about, but this would be perfect condition. But of course, you don't always have time for that. So you just come home, boil the rice with some, like fried rice after washing it, just add some water, let it brew maybe like 20 minutes, and then you just eat it. Okay. It's still very good because there's butter included.
Fine.
Yeah, you will never see a Turkish person just boiling eating it. Not gonna happen.
That's never. Like my typical.
Yes,
but it is good. Butter makes rice.
Butter, yeah. When you add butter, maybe it's gonna get better. But I mean, I was very surprised when I came here, and like, so you know, I used to think that only boiling rice and eating it was like, you know, just a Asian thing. But it's also coming here, so I was very surprised.
Well, we're trying to be, actually what's happening is we're trying to be more healthy and not eat so many potatoes. So that's why we're going over to like rice and buckwheat and everything else. But, you know, we're keeping it plain because we actually don't know how to prepare it any other way. So that's where the Asian part comes in. But is there any weird Estonian foods? Like, we understand kilo, we like you love, but is there anything like weird Estonian food that you've noticed here?
Kiluvile.
Yeah, like vegetarian sandwich.
Yeah. Even with kiluvile, it was quite strange for people because, as far as I observed, some Estonian people hate fish. I love fish. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very common in Turkey, so it's just, I love fish. Mm-hmm. In Turkish, we have a saying, even if my father comes out of sea, I'm going to eat him. Yes, you love it that much.
Okay. That's intense.
I know, right? Talk about dead issues. just kidding. It's just we love it so much.
Yeah, it's very common here on the islands too.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, fishermen or from the cities that are near, you know, seawater where people are catching a lot of fish, so it gets eaten a lot more as well. But you're like in Tartu, like. You can go catch a fish from Emajõgi, but nobody really wants to eat that that much.
But weird food of Estonia, the Christmas food, blood sausage.
What's wrong with blood sausage?
It's blood.
But if we told it's just the sausage, never mentioned blood, we just
do it. I would be okay with it, yes. I tasted it.
It's okay. It doesn't taste like blood. It's just that you know.
It's weird. I don't like blood pancakes. Like, especially, I think they're very common in Finland as well.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, and this sauerkraut. I love cabbage. I love sour cabbage. Mm-hmm. But I only can eat it when it's not cooked. I add it to my salad.
Oh,
I add it just like it is.
Yeah, you like it raw. Yeah.
I love it raw, but when it's cooked.
Or fermented, they call it fermented.
Oh, no, when it's cooked. Yeah, fermented cabbage I love. But when it's cooked. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't handle it.
I like it as well, actually.
Yeah, I love it. My mom has the best way when she adds, like, some of the roast, you know, stuff that comes out of the pork roast into it and goes like brown.
Yeah, I can imagine, but just I think
it's matter of taste.
Yeah, it's just not my taste, and it became even worse when I had this food poisoning. There was this period in Christmas time when there was a kind of a stomach flu affecting a lot of people. So we went to some celebration in some house, and kids were sick. I didn't know. Of course, I was playing with kids, etc. I love kids, and I got it. So right after, basically pretty much around the same time when I ate traditional Estonian Christmas food with blood sausage, potato, sauerkraut, pork, I got very, very sick in my stomach. And I was flying to Istanbul like a few days later.
No.
So I was throwing up, I had diarrhea, I was in plane, I was trying not to throw up in plane, and like the moment I landed and I got home, I was just running to the toilet.
Oh, God.
It was very bad.
But to be sure that it's not related to the how bad Estonian Christmas food is, it's just that you got unlucky, right?
Yes.
Just
yes.
For our listeners,
yeah.
This is not about the food.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, they told me that there was lots of people to see the chest like that. Sauerkraut, I'm not so sure yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I have a different. It's been going like a cooking show now, but I have a different question.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's switch it up. Let's talk about the language. Like when I was working and living in New York, my boss was actually from Turkey and with Turkish background. And one of my co-workers was also from Turkey. And I heard a lot.
In New York?
In New York,
my God, we are common.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
Wow.
So, and I heard a lot of Turkish when they spoke. And then at first glance, it really sounded like Estonian. And other American people were also like, wait, do you guys speak the same language? How has your experience been there with the language learning? And do you find it similar?
What does Turkish sound like? Can you maybe say a few sentences in Turkish?
You have to give me an example. I can never do this.
You do not swear in Turkish, so maybe other Turkish
people. No, I won't.
Just say something, I don't know, very common. The weather is nice today.
What? I don't want to lie.
What did you do today?
Turkish. Sabah uyandım, işe gittim. Çok iş yoktu bugün zaten. Yani çoğu zaman aslında telefon açtım, oyun oynadım. Ondan sonra pek bir şey yemedim. Aslında eve gelince yine yemek yemeyi planlıyorum. Burada konuşuyorum. Daha önce hiç böyle bir şey yapmadığım için biraz ilginç geliyor bana. Bu şekilde. Yani günümde çok bir aslında aksiyon yoktu.
So I think it kind of sounds similar with the like with a bit sounding
the intonation.
Yeah.
It's very calm. I like that it's calm and soft. I think Estonian is common soft as well when people actually take the time to speak it.
Yes, but I wouldn't say they are similar at any time. I mean, whenever I spoke Turkish, most of the time people don't understand anything because we have a lot of Z, Ş, and this combination of these letters a lot.
It's a bit like Hungarian to me, actually.
It can. Close.
Some of for me, we had a joke whenever I was in Hungary, I had Hungarian colleagues, and we were like, Hege Shegede, which they say when, like, cheers or something like that. And everybody was talking in Hungarian when they forgot about themselves. Then we started making a little mockery out of them, saying, Hege Shegede, Skurish, Makashita.
Yeah,
that's exactly
what it sounds like. As far as I know, they kind of share some origins very, very, very back.
Supposedly with Estonians, but the Hungarian sounds nothing like
Estonian. Yeah, and also there is the fact that both, like I think all Ural-Altaic languages, as well as Turkish, I'm not sure if it's still considered in that category because Turkish can be Turkic languages as a separate branch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's some discussion going on in the linguistics world. But we share some letters. We have U. We have U. We have, I know, right? It makes things much easier for me. We have U, we have U.
Okay.
We have A as well, but we do not have it as a separate letter. We just pronounce it. So maybe that's why sometimes it sounds common, but no, they're not similar at all.
Are you studying Estonian?
I did back in first year of a master's degree, and then I didn't have time to study it because it's actually very difficult.
that's true.
With the cases and everything. I mean, in Turkish we have 7 cases.
Welcome to Estonia with 14, right?
Yes, double the amount. And still, even though we have some same letters, and actually both languages are agglutinative, I think it's called, when you add suffix at the end of the word to make even a sentence, new words, etc. So the grammar is basically quite similar to Estonian in that sense. So even though I get the logic, I understand how it works, I still need like free time to just stay, you know, just study it, which I will do eventually because it's been 3 years and kind of becomes annoying for me not to understand.
Okay. How's your Estonian now?
Can you say something in Estonian?
I can say tere.
Okay, well, besides tere. How about my name is Bulut?
I mean, you know, Bulut.
Very good.
I study at Tallinn University of Technology, but not anymore. I'm studying there, so that would be a lie. But I think it was something like Malpin Tallinn and Technical
College. Yeah, perfect. That's nice. Very good.
Cool. Like that.
Do you have any favorite words or words that you find funny?
In Estonian.
Not gonna. I like that word.
Why?
It just sounds so cute. Anything with kenna, you know, and you guys use it as screening.
Yeah, like endearment. Yes. That you add to everything.
Like, yeah, I like that. I like these. I forgot what they are called. I think in Turkish they were called yansıma sözcükler, which is, you know, it's kind of like you use it for basically the steps of a child, like tipa tapa. I love it so much. I have a lot of these kind of things, but I just can't remember right now. But in general, I find the language very cute and like very, very sweet.
Aww.
I like it, yeah.
Thank you. Nice. I think that's such a good compliment about Estonian.
And
hard to learn about cute.
Yes. And most of the time, I can actually distinguish between Finnish and Estonian. So that's a big guess.
Oh, wow. But what do you think is the difference between Estonian and Finnish people?
Language-wise, they have a lot more consonants and vowels at the same time somehow. If they have a word, it would be like ekkölen. Yes, in Finnish. But like in Estonian, it's more like ekkölen.
Yeah,
you know, like more shorter. They have a lot of vowels, and I think it's even harder than Estonian pronounce because they have U out of nowhere, which is not U, which is Y, but for some reason they want to pronounce it as U. So yeah.
They just don't write it the same way that we do. They want it to be special too.
So what about, do you have any advice on people who would want to move to Estonia? What do you think they should know?
Well, depending on where they're coming from, of course, but if they are coming from a different country, you know, so much different than Estonia, like Turkey, or anywhere in the south, basically. Shop better than I did. Just get very thick journals. Actually, they can get it when they come here, because like,
yes,
have...
that's probably better to get it from here, because any winter jacket you get in a show of like a warm country is never going to be enough for a Estonian
weather. And if you even manage to find, it's going to be much more expensive, because who buys them in Turkey, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, they should be prepared for a cultural difference and cultural shock, because Estonian people are, of course, compared to South people, a bit calmer, more distant, more to themselves, so to speak. Even in culture-wise of the country itself, Estonian, I mean, I forgot what it was called, but there was a term for that. There's this Dutch scientist or marketing person that came up with some metrics for countries. His name is Hofstede, I think, or Hofstede. You speak Dutch, I guess.
I speak Dutch, yeah.
Yeah.
Hofstede,
maybe.
But I don't know what to
use. It's like H-O-F-S-T-E-D-E.
Yeah, Hofstede.
That. Yeah. So this person has some metrics. I used it when I was writing my thesis. Yeah. So an Estonian culture is one of those where you get you know, it takes much longer time than, you know, southern countries, for example, than to get into a circle. But once you're in, then everything is possible in this circle. Like, you will get just very, very close friends. But it's just very difficult to, you know, break that shell and, you know, get into the community.
So how has it been for you, making friends in Estonia?
Yeah.
Getting into the community?
Well, not so bad. I mean, maybe I'm one of the lucky ones, but I haven't been victim of racism at all.
That's good.
Unless, I mean, at least I don't know about it, if it happens. At least no one just screamed at my face, oh, go back to your country or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, of course, my skin is, I would say, white.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it. So maybe that's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. And we still have a lot of people with dark hair here. So that can be another reason. And most of the time, when I go to a shop, I usually get welcomed in Estonian.
You look pretty Estonian, actually. You don't look that foreign. Yes, that can be a reason. Or Estonian Russian. I've been told that as well. Estonian Russian, or Estonian blah blah blah. Your origins are somewhere, but your ancestors came here, and I'm like, right.
And I don't particularly look southern, like I said, so maybe that's the reason. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I have tattoos, I have earring, I wear like t-shirts and stuff like that. So, and I'm not a religious person at all. So maybe that's another reason. So
you look like a hipster that would perfectly belong to.
Yes, exactly. I look like I just came out of Teliskivi.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And like you would fit perfectly in Teliskivi.
Yes.
You would have the beard, shoes, the look, everything.
Pretty much. So maybe that's one of the reasons. But apart from that, when I met people also, it's been quite okay. Of course, I met those people as well when they didn't, like, you know, even show any emotions, but they are that way to everybody.
Yeah.
And
what about the notion of you being Turkish? Is there anything through that, like, when people realize Turkey?
Well, no, actually. If anything, most of them have been to Turkey. Which
yeah,
makes,
yeah. Has a whole new story of
yes,
Turkey.
Which makes things easier because they know how the country is.
Yeah.
And especially if they have been to Istanbul, they know where I grew up, so it makes things easier. And I haven't encountered something like, ooh, Turkey, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the only surprising thing that happened once was that someone asked if we speak Arabic, if you use Arabic letters.
Mm-hmm.
No. Turkish people tend to get very upset and angry about this. It's kind of like asking an Estonian, so your language is Russian? Yes, yeah.
So you're a little bit of ignorant.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You should know more.
Yes, I mean, I can see where it's coming from, of course, and it wasn't a question like, you know, it was a curiosity question. So this person asked to know, and the answer is no, we speak Turkish, and we use Latin alphabet. Although I kind of find Latin alphabet a bit boring.
So you want to have some special alphabet?
Take Georgian alphabet. It looks like Elvish, you know. Or like some different alphabets. I think they look very cool in that sense.
You just want to be special.
Yes, you know, I want to be hipster.
Yes.
Exactly.
You can make up your own alphabet for anybody that asks about where you're from, and then you can just write in your secret language, you know?
Yeah. But back in old times, when we were still Ottoman Empire, and when we got out of being Ottoman Empire, we were speaking actually Ottoman Turkish, which was a merger of Turkish and Arabic back then, and which was neither Turkish nor Arabic, so it was like confusing for many people in the region because Turkish was still being spoken in the on the streets. Although not today's Turkish, but, you know, back then's Turkish. And then the emperors tried to impregnate it with Arabic. But it was not too much Arabic, so it was confusing Arabic people as well. It was neither
them nor them.
Exactly. So eventually, when there was revolution in Turkey, and then we gained independence. Not independence, but like when we were out of wars, because we were never occupied in that sense. So when there
peace came.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. When the borders are all yeah, exactly. When the country was safe, the founder of modern Turkey, Atatürk, established this new alphabet, etc., as well as the foundation of modern Turkish, so that the, you know, it will be just much easier for future generations to speak a language and just use same alphabet as what, you know, most of the European countries, so that the trade relations will be easier, etc., etc. So, of course, yeah, I have to, you know, accept the fact that, I mean, it makes things just much easier. Even, you know, I studied English, of course, I had to learn Latin, if you had even different alphabet, yeah. I would have eventually studied Latin in that sense. But yeah, if we had a different alphabet and if I just studied English, then I would have to learn the alphabet as well, etc., etc. So yeah, I understand the logic behind it. And yeah, Turkish is very, very different than Arabic. We have a lot of words from Arabic, but structurally, like, everything is so much different than Arabic.
Yeah. But it's similar also to Azerbaijani, right?
Very similar. Very similar.
So you can understand each other.
Ooh, yes and no. It's kind of like...
Maybe it's like Estonian Finnish. We can understand some words.
It is.
They're
overlapping,
but not in general.
Yeah, exactly. well, Azerbaijani and Turkish are very close. They're from the same family for that. And both use Latin alphabet, but they have some different letters than ours. So I don't know, for example, how they pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they speak very slowly, mm-hmm. I get the idea of what they're talking about. But some words mean completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Some words mean opposite things.
Yeah.
So there are these kind of confusions as well. But all of Azerbaijani people that I met are actually speaking Turkish. So that's just okay. But yeah, it's similar, very similar.
Mm. How many languages do you speak?
Two. I'm very ashamed of it.
So is it Turkish and English?
Yes, I know, right?
But when you grow up in Turkey, like in schools, do you study more than one language?
Depends on the school that you go. But
what's the default?
English is the most common one.
Okay.
In some high schools, they teach French or German. And in some primary schools as well, especially in private primary schools, mm-hmm. they teach Spanish, etc.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, but the most common is English, and then I would say German or French.
But what's the reason for it? Is it that everybody's still thinking globally?
That's the reason. And I think the question would be, why not other languages along with it?
So, yeah, but then you would have to start to, like, kind of questioning what language is the most important one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In Estonia, it makes sense that we learn three or four different languages by the time we grow up, because Estonian, of course, Russian, because Russian is very mm-hmm. next to us, and so many people living in Estonia speak Russian. English, because we're a country, we want to be global. And then, you know, whatever else is extra is because of either we've been once, you know, part of that country, mm-hmm. either Germany, Sweden, or just French. So I guess in that sense it makes sense. But what would be the languages that you would want to learn extra?
German.
Okay.
Of course, German.
Why German?
I love German.
I love German too.
I don't
know why.
It's just very... for me, it's a very beautiful language. I even like Dutch.
Yeah.
When I say this, people freak out. But I love French as well. Usually it's the opposite. If people like these kind of harsh languages, they hate soft languages.
Yeah.
But I like them. I mean,
for me, German is actually a very soft language.
It really is.
Sounds to be very, very soft. Like, I used to tell them because people used to tell me that that's probably because I was together with a German guy. So it's like, you know, language, or was a love language for me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, like for me, German always sounded really nice. Not this Helga, Helga, Schneller, Schneller kind of thing, you know, that everybody keeps on making it into.
It is not. Yeah, it is not as hard as people think of it.
It's actually just the TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Depending on who speaks it, it can be very soft. And it's just that for me, it's quite charismatic. And when they speak, I actually understand where the sentence ends, which word they are using.
Yeah.
Just like Estonian, it's all like settled. But for example, if someone speaks Russian, for me, Russian is very soft. And I have no idea what they're saying, where the sentence ends, where it starts, like Polish as well.
Yeah, same.
You know, these kind of languages. And the same can be also said for Turkish. It's like we have a lot of different letters compared to some European languages, especially Latin languages. So that can be a reason. But I like German a lot. It sounds so beautiful to my ears. Yeah, and I'm definitely going to learn it. I studied it for a few months back in Istanbul. I had a very, very good teacher, but then I had to quit because of work.
But now let's switch the topic again. So what are your, do you have any favorite places in Estonia?
Well, Telliskivi lives, of course.
Well, not Tallinn, Estonia.
No.
Think bigger. No.
All right. Give me a minute.
Or is your Estonia Tallinn?
No. I've been to many places in Estonia, but in general, I like pretty much everywhere. It's very green, full of forests and everything. It's just very beautiful in general. The nature is amazingly beautiful here. And, you know, coming from a big city, it changes a lot in your life. Tallinn is, of course, very beautiful. Pärnu is very, very beautiful. In summer times, in winter times, it's a bad city. It's very beautiful. Creepy. Tartu as well. I love that city.
Yay.
And I cannot remember the names, but there are some villages that we drove through, and it was also like they were also very, very beautiful. But favorite would be Tallinn, of course, because like, you know, I live here.
But it seems that you've traveled a lot and seen many places.
In Estonia, yeah. I mean, I try to see many places. Even though there are still some places that I haven't been to, I really try. Lakes and everything. I like swimming in lakes, which isn't a thing in my life.
How about sauna?
Too hot for me. Yes, it's weird.
Sauna difference. Turkish sauna and Estonian sauna. How would you compare the two?
Okay.
Is it the Turkish hammam?
Yes, it's called hammam.
Yeah.
And I have to confess, I haven't been to any hammam in Istanbul.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
okay.
94 years of living in Turkey, I haven't been to one.
So is it only for tourists?
No, actually, it's really common in Turkey as well. But it's just that it's one of these things that you speak with your friends, because you cannot sit it in your house. And then, you know, it just didn't happen somehow. Whenever we met with friends, we went to somewhere else. I think the weather is usually very good, so you don't miss feeling heat, so you don't go somewhere where you can find heat. I've only been to some hammams back in very, very, very old, young age, when we were going to some hotels for holidays. I think I've been like only once, perhaps, but it wasn't even a real hammam, you know. It wasn't a traditional one. So, but I know that it's much colder than Estonian sauna. And Estonian sauna is a bit too hot for me because even though I grew up in, you know, Turkey under the sun.
You grew up in a sauna already.
Yeah, but it's just, physically it's still like warmer in a sauna and it's just the heat is so kind of like, it's just so intense. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just hits you. And if you're not used to it, you have trouble breathing. And then you have to leave and come back to the sauna, etc.
That's also there. Part of the point, you know, that people go inside the sauna and everybody has their own limit. Like when I was a kid and I went to sauna, my parents used to tell me that you can't leave before you have a drop on your nose, like a drop of sweat, which is like torture for me, you know. But now when I'm grown up, like that's like the minimum, like for me. Like before that, I don't even want to leave because otherwise it feels I've not been in the sauna.
Yeah.
So I think your tolerance grows.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. But so I still cannot do the aftermath. I cannot do this jumping into cold water.
That's the best part. I know.
Nope. not for me, no.
Have you tried winter swimming?
No.
Wrong.
I know people who do that, but I like my life. I like my body. I don't.
I can invite you with me next time. You can try it.
I haven't even swam here this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, me neither. So if that makes you feel any better,
I haven't swum here. I mean, it's just. I've been to lakes and stuff back in last summer, I think.
Yeah.
But this summer, no. I just didn't swim yet. And because the water is too cold for me. And the moment.
It just takes practice, right?
Yeah.
To get used to it.
Maybe.
Do you have like a certain place here in Estonia where you've not been but we want to go to still?
That's Alpaca. Park or zoo, something like that. I haven't been. Alpaca farm, yeah.
You know, there are many, actually.
There are quite a few.
What?
There's also a, what do you call that, the bird that hides his head on the...
Ostrich.
Yes, an ostrich farm as well. It's on the island. So if you've never been to, you can go and see an ostrich.
Okay,
as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I've even been to...
Emus.
Ah, really? Yeah, emus here?
Yeah, you have to go on the island.
Wow.
And then you find them.
I wonder if they know about the Australian victory they have.
There are many places with alpacas now. It seems to be quite popular. I went to visit like two different ones during the open farm days,
mm-hmm.
which was like a few weekends back. And then I discovered as well that they're like, oh, it's like
no
a puppy, okay, yeah.
Wow.
How about skiing during winter?
I'm very lousy at that. I tried
even
once.
Country.
I tried once. I cannot even just do it for like a meter. Yeah, I cannot even stand up. Even though there was, you know, my friends told me, oh, you just had the wrong kit, it was too big for you, etc. I just know that it's just pure me, I cannot.
That's fine, there's plenty of Estonians as well that do not enjoy skiing.
Yeah, I mean, I love snow, and just it's sufficient, it's enough, I'm okay with that.
You
know,
love
I
snow looking from inside out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, it's never been a thing that excites me to, you know, just go skiing, etc.
Plus, it also makes outside a little bit lighter during winter if it snows here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's so dark. Is that a thing for you? Do you get depressed during winter?
Yes. I mean, of course. It goes dark here in winter times at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
While, I mean, in summer it's exactly the opposite, but in Istanbul, at least over the year, it's balanced. But it's balanced for me because I'm used to that. The sun goes down at around 6, 7, maybe, or maybe later even a bit in summer times, and then it, you know, rises again in, at around, I don't know, 6, 7, something. I don't remember the times, but, you know, you have more daylight in your hands in winter time even, so, yeah, it's a big thing. I mean, I was very shocked when I saw that, you know, by the time it hits 3 in the afternoon, just the sun is gone.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So what about, do you have any future plans? Do you plan to stay in Estonia or do you think you're going back soon? Or?
No. I mean, I have quite a good life here. I have very good friends. And I mean, I have a job.
What do you do as a job?
Well, previously I worked in tourism and I quit right before these things happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coronavirus and all that. And then right now I'm working in operations of SEO management company.
Yeah, nice.
I'm not sure if I can give names, but you know.
No, that's fine. You don't have to. That's completely
okay.
Right. As long as you just say.
I'm in operations of a company. So
nothing to do with engineering then.
Kind of does. I kind of studied it. Not exactly that, but I learned how to handle operations. So. Yeah, kind of related.
Yeah, I guess it goes into the leadership thing as well,
yeah,
in a way, and leading people and leading like stuff. But is
that
your dream job here in Estonia, or would you rather prefer to have an engineer job at some point?
Engineering job per se? No, I wouldn't say so right now. Right now, no.
You're happy with what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I like operations in general. I like marketing, these kind of things, even public relations. So if I end up in another department, it's going to be something like that. It's just that operations of a company is like where you handle everything, where you see everything. So it's very nice for me. Engineering, I wouldn't say so for me at this point right now. And because I still need to learn Estonian. If I want to be an engineer in a factory in that production floor, I have to be speaking the local language.
Yeah.
Which is one of my future plans. I mean, I really want to study Estonian.
What's your action plan for that? Do you have like
I need to take private course. There's no other way around it. I mean, I gave up a long time ago trying to learn it online because I prefer to learn it with grammar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when I'm taught these, you know, just daily speech things,
these
fun games, etc. I despise it so much. I hate it.
You want some order in your language?
Yes.
Study.
I mean, I want to start from the very beginning, like structural language, grammars, etc., how each letter is pronounced. Then we can work on examples and so on and so forth. So let's see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I'm here for a few more years at least.
That's nice to hear. Welcome aboard.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I mean, hopefully longer. But I mean, I don't like to just make things, you know, just say certain things. Oh, I'm going to be here for
But I think life happens anyway.
Exactly.
What do your parents think about you staying around here, or you haven't told them yet?
They're okay. No, no, they know. Of course, like,
have they come here to visit you?
Yeah, once. I mean, they are busy. They are also working, so they don't always have, you know,
free time.
Yeah, free time to come here. Mm-hmm. Plus, from there to Istanbul, from Istanbul to Tallinn, it's 3 hours of flight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too much, but the cost can be a lot.
Yeah.
Depending on the session, I mean, season. Last time I checked, it was around 300 euros.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three people, so
yeah,
my father has to pay a lot just to see me. So it's better if I just go there.
Yeah. But what was their experience of doing
it? They loved it.
Are they okay with you being here?
Yeah, of course, they loved it. They really liked it, especially living in Istanbul. They found it very cool, very clean, very, you know, in an order, and so on and so forth. So they loved it.
So
especially the old town, of course, because they're tourists.
So when Estonians go to Turkey for the sunshine, then the Turks come to Estonia for the calm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Corn holiday place.
Huh?
Corn holiday place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, they of course want to come again, but I don't think this time they will just stay in Estonia, in Tallinn. Because last time they came, we only had a week and I didn't have free time from work.
Mm.
So we only spent like so little time, so we are not to be in Tallinn. But next time here, I want to take them through Estonia and hopefully Latvia, Lithuania as well, or Finland.
Mm-hmm. I have more last question for you. I noticed that you have a tattoo of a barn swallow on your hand. Can you tell us the story about that and how that came to be?
Yeah.
Why is it there? Why isn't it any other? Why is it the national bird of Estonia?
Yeah, it's the national bird of Estonia.
Suitsupaska,
exactly. And it's just a bunch of triangles and a sentence. So basically, I have tattoos on my right arm, which is an astronaut and a small galaxy-like thing. And the astronaut I got from Istanbul, the black hole and the lines of it I got from Buenos Aires.
Ooh.
I love it there. And then some flowers, etc., on it again from Istanbul. So it's kind of, the idea is that I get something from every country I love as I visit,
nice.
You know. So Istanbul, you know, just checklist, it's done, I crossed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Buenos Aires, I loved it there. So I decided to get one in one day and the next day I got it.
Wow, that's fast.
Yes, and you know, and then this one, the bird on my left arm, the national bird of Estonia, I decided to get it after I graduated, kind of. It was certain that I was going to get it at some point, but I just didn't know when. Yeah. So what happened was, when I graduated, I was certain that I wanted it from Estonia as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started thinking about it. And then it happened that when I started my new position in this new job,
mm-hmm.
they asked me about my initial, like, first tattoos on my right arm, and as I was talking about them, I mentioned that I want another one that represents Estonia.
Yeah.
And then a friend from workplace said that, oh, I know this guy, maybe, you know, you can speak with him, you can even get discount. And I just wrote to this tattoo artist just to ask, and you know, ask for ideas, and suddenly it was a thing. Yes. Yes, exactly. And I didn't stop it, of course, because, you know, it's now or never, because, you know, I might die, so at least I'm going to die with a cool tattoo. And I just didn't have any ideas. I just wanted it to represent Estonia. I wanted the bird. I wanted the triangles.
Why triangles?
To add some geometrical shape to it. I mean, I just didn't want one bird here. It would be a bit too cliche.
Yeah.
Or I
this
didn't...
It's not a parrot.
Yeah, yeah. So I just mentioned some geometrical shape, but triangles is just something I like.
Yeah,
it's tattoos.
Weird. We can talk about that later because I have a thing with triangles too. I have also tattoos with triangles and I have things with triangles.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it adds
the
some
power
kind
of
intensity
to me. But.
So, yeah, then the artist designed it. And And then I also wanted a sentence. And the sentence says, the times we had, it's this very cliche sentence in the old town. And it means a lot to me because it's one of the things that I loved in Tallinn when I was still new here. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, first month, especially when I was just walking the old town all the time, every day. So it's just a sentence that reminds me of those days. And I loved it. It was in a very beautiful position. Although now they painted it over and wrote some other bullshit sentence.
But at least you have it now.
Yes, exactly.
So you are actually a piece of Tallinn now.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. I really hope someone paints over again.
Yeah. You can be the one who
makes
If not, you can tell your grandchildren, once, you know, in Tallinn there was this sentence and now it's on my hand.
But my handwriting is very bad, so I don't think I can do it. Okay. So, that's the story.
Nice.
And, yeah.
So I think it's a good place to wrap up. Do you want to add anything or say anything?
Well, not much actually. It's just that it might scare people if they want to move here, but it's a very beautiful land. And the new generation is more and more open to newcomers and foreigners as well. And when you get over the fact that they are a bit, you know, Estonians are a bit calmer, if you're coming from south, then just, you know, you get used to it just very easily. It's very fun, very cold, but very nice still. So
you make it sound like it's Alaska here. It's not.
I mean, for me, it's kind of easy.
Yeah, for people from Istanbul, it's very cold here. But when we talk about cold, it's maybe just -25.
We don't have to wear a jacket. I didn't have to wear a jacket today. That was warm. I mean, it's summer.
And I was walking around with a raincoat.
Okay. So, summer.
Yeah. But I think even as a tourist, it should be given a chance. I mean, it's very beautiful. There's a lot to see, especially when you have time, you can visit the countryside, etc. It's just beautiful. And yeah, I'm quite happy I'm here. Otherwise, I would have left anyway. I decided to stay. After graduation, I decided on my own to stay here. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, and I'm looking for years to come. So yeah,
that's a nice thing to say about Estonia. I don't know about Tina, but I'm very happy that you came to talk with us.
Me too.
Like I learned about Estonia so much more, and now I know what a good kebab in Berlin. That's a thing.
Yeah, but
before I thought it was a vision like that. Is
now I'm looking at setting. It's setting. Unfortunately, I mean. Maybe we can convince some of them to move here, but yeah.
One day you will bring all your friends here. They will put a Turkish kebab place out that will be famous all over.
Yeah, let's see. I mean,
engineer it.
Our world.
I love the tips and stuff about Turkish food. So maybe we can even make an event or something where you can cook for us and we can try it out.
Yeah, depends on how many people we're expecting, but yes, can be a thing.
Yes.
I might require some help, but why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's something for our listeners. So let us know if you want to try out.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Food for a bit of time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.